I don't have Twinkies, so. Any word of testimony before we start? I saw Brother Ronnie, he's older, but he's a little faster. Could be the eye.
I just want to give praise to God for hearing from Peter and his testimony.
Yes.
And I just want to give praise to God for all the professions that we've had lately. And I want to give praise to God that he's put new men in the pulpit from Black Creek Baptist Church. And I want to give praise to God for Black Creek Baptist Church. And I consider Black Creek Baptist Church a hub with spokes going out. Yes, amen. I want to praise God for the Word of God and the men of God that he's given us to make all this wonderful stuff, all this wonderful power of the Lord and the working of the Lord possible. And I want to thank God for giving me a place to go to and called Black Creek Baptist Church. And I want to thank God for giving me a place to go to called the King James Bible. It's not a testimony. That's just a praise that I have right there. Amen. Amen.
Mr. Scope.
Sir.
These are gracious people here. I'm glad you love the Black Creek Baptist Church. This is probably one of the few churches in the world you could come to, praise another church, and not hurt the Baptist.
Never even thought about it.
All right.
I love this.
And again,
awesome.
That's because those are gracious people there who truly love us. All right? Amen.
Who else can get rebuked for praising God?
Boy, don't you love Pastor Asquith? Isn't he a blessing? We just love Pastor Asquith. Oh, what a great guy.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, we're thank
you. Oh, hey, Brother Casciola, glad you're here.
That's right. Very good.
Well, I'm not sure it's a testimony, but as they were singing that, and I sang on, I think it was the third verse, on men who refuse to pray.
Yeah.
Shall call on rocks to fall. Let it not be said of you, let it not be said of you that you refuse to pray because
yes.
God will not answer.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm going to thank Ronnie Skolton because over a year ago he helped fill the pulpit while
yeah,
I was in the hospital.
Amen.
So it was the 14th that I got out of the hospital. But yesterday was my spiritual birthday.
Amen.
15th October, 7 years ago,
amen.
I was truly born again.
I love it.
Satan had kept me deceived for all of those years.
Ah, glory to God,
but
brother.
But he didn't wait for God.
I like it.
So, y'all know I was just recently saved, and I just like to thank God because when people would say, Mr. Moore had said something to us before that, you can't just need to read the Bible. You have to want to read the Bible. And I never understood that. I'm like, I don't get that. I don't get how you get that want to do this. And as of late, I've had a want to read and study the Bible. And that song, I Need Him Every Hour.
Yeah.
I think it's the second line there.
Oh, yes.
Where it talks about how God just keeps the sins away and everything. That's just one of the reasons I just want to read it. Because I know that. Just the best thing in my life for me.
Amen. Amen. I like
Amen.
It.
Amen. All right, let's hold them high. Hold them high. Amen. All right. Ready? Wonderful. Amen. Don't let that bother you. Wonderful. Anybody else? Word testimony. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to thank God that I've been able to cross so many names off of my list.
Amen.
And I just wanted to say also that there are so many people that I'm praying faithfully for.
That's right.
And I have great hope for you.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody else? Word of testimony. Nancy.
I thank the Lord that I now know what true contentment and fulfillment is. I know what my purpose is in life, and the Lord has never failed me in 45 years. I just
That's
praise
right.
Him so much that the only regrets I've ever had are when I didn't listen or went my own way. So the Lord has been so faithful. I just have to praise Him, and I love Him.
Amen. Amen. Sorry.
I just want to thank the Lord for so many miracles. I couldn't even begin to tell all the miracles. Just John stood up there this morning in the 10 o'clock service and started preaching doctrine, and then took history and wove it through that doctrine. Oh my word. I just stared at him, and I just fell in love with him all over again for his love for God's word, for his, oh hush, you'll be fine, his love for God's word, his love for the letters in the King James Bible.
Yep.
The commas and the periods and the question marks and that. It gave me hope years ago. I mean, I was done with church. I was finished. It was just a facade people put on, the dog and everything, and I was done with it. And then I ran into John M. Asquith, and he gave me back that King James Bible in spades. And oh, what God has done.
Amen. Now, I know she's gone too far for some of you, with the, because we know the punctuation wasn't like that in the originals. Just pray for Sister Ruth Ann.
Oh, no. I'll be okay.
Amen. Sister Jody.
I just thank God that this last year, even though it was a hard year for the Montgomery family, there's just been so many places I can look back and realize God was already there. He already knew. And he really just brought us through the year. And even now, even though there's still things we're going through, that he's still there. He's still working.
Amen. Amazing God. Amen. Sure is. Timothy, won't you stand and pray for the Montgomery family?
Dear Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for the Montgomery family. God, I'm thankful that they came into church in Black Creek. God, I'm thankful that you sought them, you wooed them, you moved unto them. God, I thank you for saving their mom. God, I thank you for Trevor and for Zane. God, I thank you for Rayanne and for Katie. For Mr. Montgomery, God, I ask that you would help that family. Help Mrs. Montgomery. Give her strength. Give her wisdom, God. Help her with those children. God, I should help Zane in school. Help Trevor in school. Help Katie at home and Ray at home. God, help Mr. Montgomery at work. Would you just work in that family and strengthen them, God. Deal with them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Anybody else? Testimony? Exhortation? Be pretty good. I'd take a test of baloney if we need to. I mean, that'd be fine. Oh, Charity.
I just want to thank God that I was able to wake up another day, that he woke me up another day. I take that for granted almost every day, and I'm just very thankful to be here tonight.
Amen. Amen. Noah had a birthday. Amen. Did you come out ahead, Sam? Did you figure out the math? I told him, I said, there's so many gifts here. You take them all back to Walmart, you're probably getting up to gift cards back to pay for the party. I don't know if you will. Amen. Thank the Lord for Charity. Thank the Lord for Samuel. Amen. Anybody else? Word of testimony. This is Sharon.
I'd like to praise the Lord for how he has brought us through this year, for the many blessings, for being there when we've needed him the most. And I also want to thank him for what he's going to be doing in the future. I just feel like the Lord has blessed us through thick and thin, and we still have a lot to be thankful for. And I praise God for his word and the hunger for it.
Amen. Amen. It's been different. I stayed at the Baptist home. I'll tell you the truth now. It's been different. I mean, we still trash the place, but it's just thank God for that. Anybody else? I saw a hand, I thought. Anybody else? Noah? Oh, Timothy, okay.
I'd just like to say I don't always understand the working of God. I'll sit in services. I would sit in services for so long before I was saved and think that I understand what the preacher's saying, think that I get what God is saying to me, but I come to the conclusion that I really don't always understand, and it's God that moves toward me, that bring me to a place of repentance. Even after being saved, you wonder how God's going to work in your life, and then somehow in the messages, listening to the preaching, even this morning when Stephen was preaching, reaches out and he helped me and he dealt with me, and I wonder, and I don't understand it, but I'm very thankful that God would do that.
Amen. Anybody else?
Just to encourage Miss Jody, God's there whether we see him or not.
Amen.
In probably some of our roughest times, but times we don't see him. But if we wait long enough and we pray long enough, not only does he show up, but he lets us know that he was going through that with us.
Amen. You know, we're to forget those things which are behind. But sometimes you do need to bring up those things in remembrance. And I think one of the reasons why is you look back and you see how far God's brought you. And I think with that family, just how far God has brought them. And that's a blessing to me. That's a joy to me. Y'all have heard me say it many times. I've told them to their face 17 and a half times. Learn from John Asquith, you preach yourself, enough people listen. Amen. So I was there that very first, I think it was a Thursday night, Shankle's meetings, and this family came in because I'm just a fool, foolish and carnal and flesh. They'll never stick around. Thank God I was wrong. Been 12 years this week. God brought them to the house of God. Stuck in there pretty good, haven't they? Shows how much I know. Amen. Thank God for that. Anybody else? Exhortation, word of testimony, thanksgiving, praise. Preach it, anybody. I don't want to preach, I'm stalling. Oh, thank you, Peter. Thank you.
I just have one more thing. I'm
tired.
I'd like to thank God for is my younger brother David showed up to most of the meeting last week, which he's never done before.
Amen.
Amen.
We talked about that earlier at the church and just said, you know, he was home today, but he didn't get away with that.
No.
He didn't get away with being at home. Amen. I remember years ago, I met a fellow in North Carolina, lived within the shadow of the church. And he said every Sunday morning that church bell would ring. That's why I like a church bell. He said that church bell would ring. And he said it would irritate him. He'd be mad. It would wake him up. He'd be hungover. And he said, next Sunday, and he said, year after year, that church bell would ring. He said, finally, you know, and in his own testimony, he said, finally, he just had enough. And he said, you know what, I'm going to go in there and see why they ring that bell every morning. Amen. Thank God for that.
Amen.
Anybody else? What a testimony. All right, let's go to Ezekiel 28. And I'll plow through something I don't know much about. Not being funny at all about asking the Lord to give us something fresh. This is the busiest we've ever been. And just learning. This is learning for us, trying to figure out how to have our family survive and us survive. Of course, we had a cancellation this week. Otherwise, we'd be leaving in the morning to go to Maine. And so the Lord knew all these things.
Amen.
And we certainly appreciate the time at home. And what the Lord will hopefully give us some strength, give us a little bit of help in the Word of God. And Peter was down a couple weeks ago, and he helped me get, and I'm serious now, Peter. He goes, I didn't even really help, but he did. He helped me get some things in order so that we don't have to do a lot of outdoor stuff. We just got a few little things that we can tighten up for the winter and then move inside for a couple months. And so I appreciate that, Peter. And it's always... It's just one of those things when you're on the road, you go home and your house is musty and the yard is grown up and everything's rotting, and just part of being the life of an evangelist, you got a list of 100 things and you get 3 done in the year, you're happy. That's kind of where we are. And so, Johnny, I hope you're coming to the meeting in November. I'm not concerned about anything except me getting a new door in my back of my house. So if you'll come, we'd appreciate that. Johnny's not coming now? Don't tell me that now. I bought the door, John, and hinges. And certainly, you know, those of you that may be in the balance, or maybe don't know, we still have that lodge available, and that's living high on the hog now. We're not going to be over like the folks over there in the A-frame. We're going to be living it up and living the good life over there. So we have some rooms available, some place available. If anybody's interested in coming, just let us know, and we'll be glad to help out with that. Ezekiel 28, and there's two things in this chapter that have really stood out to me over the years, and You look at the Prince of Tyrus, you look at the King of Tyrus, two distinct individuals. Now, I want to go to the King of Tyrus first, because, you know, and who's a prince? Well, normally he's an heir of the king. But we know pretty clearly understanding of the King of Tyrus in verse 11 of Ezekiel 28. It says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the King of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God, and we saw him there. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created." So again, he was a created being. "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, and thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways," and notice this, "from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." And I'm going to just stop there just for a moment, but this created being was perfect till iniquity was found in him. He was that cherub that covereth. He was, I believe, before the throne of God. He's musical. He's beautiful. He's an angel of light. He's beautiful in his appearance. And he says, "By the multitude of thy merchandise that they filled the midst of thee with violence, thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more." It's interesting that fire comes from within him, and it destroys him. Thursday night Bible study, Brother John's going to explain that to everybody. Thank you. Verse 1, he probably knows. You know, over to Job, the third chapter of Job, verse 9, there's that little word, you know, anyway, I'm just picking on you, Brother John. Verse 1, "The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man," now we talk about the king of Tyrus, "the son of man say unto the prince of Tyrus," he's the heir, he's the inheritor. Can I say it on this wise? Prince is usually the son of the king. And I'm not being dogmatic, it's just my thoughts, my reasoning. "Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up." You see the pattern here? Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. "Because thine heart was lifted up." And it's interesting, he says that to him. "Now hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. Yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God." So there's two things we know. He said his heart is the heart of God, and he's going to sit in the seat of God. He said he would sit in the seat of God. That's prophecy that Ezekiel said. In verse 3, "Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures." Now, part of that, of course, he makes a league. He makes a league with religion. He makes a league with the kings of this world. And it's because of his wisdom. It's because of his understanding. There's things he understands beyond the norm, beyond probably our comprehension and understanding. And so he has all this wealth, and he has all these treasuries. And he says, "By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic, thou hast increased thy riches." Why? They're going to come and trade. They're going to come and barter and trade and worship. "And thine heart is lifted up because of thine riches. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, And they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Let's go back to the Thessalonians, if you would, and just compare a couple of things here in scriptures. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And just run a parallel with the Prince of Tyrus and look at this in light of scripture. Several identifiers and marks here that really have just run this through. But he tells us in verse 2, to not be soon shaken in mind or be troubled, either by spirit or by word. Why is that? He said, nor is letter from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, this is 2,000 years ago. The day of Christ is at hand. It still is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And so the Apostle Paul is warning us that that day of Christ, when he does come, there is going to be a great falling away, and then that man of sin will be revealed. Now, he gives us a timeline here, and I don't know why people choke at the timeline, because it's very clear what that timeline is. For he goes on, he tells us on this wise, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. And then says that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God. Where is that? He's in the seat of God. He's going to sit on the throne of God. You say, whose throne is that? It was Jesus Christ. He's going to show himself, he's showing himself that he is God. Yet the Lord said, no, I'll destroy you because you're just a man. You'll die the deaths of man because you're just a man. And he goes on and says this in verse 5, remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. So he does have a time. There is a portion of time. It is his time. It is going to be 7 years. Daniel has shown us that. Ezekiel has shown us that. The book of Revelation explained that to us. It is his time. It will not come early. It will not come late. What must first happen? Well, there's a withholding right now. God is withholding that man of sin. God is withholding the evil that is to come. God is withholding, and God is not only withholding, but God is also working for our benefit, on our behalf, because when that time comes, those of us are saved by the grace of God, as Brother Earl Hughes used to say, I'll be gone. Amen. So God is withholding all of these things, all the wickedness. And listen, you can get caught up. I love a good conspiracy. And I saw a meme the other day. And it said, for all you conspiracy nuts, your dreams have come true. You were right. Amen. And that's kind of my life story. Amen. I'm gloating right now going, yeah, all the peons, they didn't believe all this Alex Jones wacko stuff, and it's just coming to fruition. But the reality is, whether it's a cabal of bankers or international fraud or the Vanderbilts controlling the country or the De Beers driving up diamond prices or OPEC controlling the world, it's all being withholden because that man of sin has not yet been revealed.
Amen.
And so people are caught up in all these things. Bill Gates, you know, invented the COVID virus. And then Bill Gates came up with the vaccines and he's just getting richer. And by the way, is a man to be trusted that makes a meatless burger? I'm just throwing that out there. Amen. He wouldn't even be on the radar if he wasn't creating vegan burgers. But you deserve to be on the radar of every conspiracy nut when you have an impossible whopping. By the way, Lord willing, tonight, if the Lord wills, get to go to Burger King, and if I accidentally order an Impossible Whopper, I'm going to be distraught, depressed, miserable, sorrow. But everybody's looking at all these things that are coming to pass, and they're just, you know, things are heading quickly and they're heading into the abyss and we're falling away. It's a great falling, and it is a great falling away. We've seen that. But the one thing that has not taken place, that man of sin has not yet been revealed. I remember when Jerry Falwell back in the 80s, I remember as a teenager, I think I was in the church, and Jerry Falwell said that the Antichrist would be Jewish and he would come from Jerusalem and that he was alive on the earth today. And people just went absolutely crazy, went absolutely nuts. I mean, they went absolutely bonkers over this. And people just screaming and ranting and raving. And really, to be honest, the reason they went crazy is because he used the word Antichrist. Had nothing, they don't like Jews anyway. Had nothing to do with it, just because they used the word Antichrist. And they despise that term. And by the way, he's never called the Antichrist in the Word of God. And that's fine if you use that terminology. It doesn't offend me one bit. There's a spirit of Antichrist, which is in the world today. John said it was in the world 2,000 years ago. It's still in the world today. And when you read the patterns of the Prince of Tyrus, the King of Tyrus, everything in this world is pointing to that pattern. That is the spirit of Antichrist. Everything is pointing to that, to be lifted up, to have riches, the beauty. I mean, I won't get into the whole beauty thing, but it's just to be beautiful, to be seen, to be noticed in your physical appearance, and all of the things that go along with that, and the wealth and the riches, and it's all against God, but yet it so closely mimics God that the whole world has fallen for it. And so because the whole world is, again, there is a Jesus that's not Jesus Christ.
Right.
There are Jesuses in plurality that are not our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They are not the Savior of the Bible. They are not the creator of all things. But they have created a Jesus, and that itself is Antichrist. And again, many preachers have said over the years, everywhere that God is building a church, the Antichrist across the street building a chapel. Everywhere there's sacred hymns, the devil's across the street, the spirit of Antichrist is making up new music. Everywhere there's a Bible, the spirit of Antichrist is working, somebody across the street is printing profanity. You say pornography? No, false versions.
Yeah.
Absolutely profane. And so again, all that he does and everything that Jesus Christ has done is going to be mimicked, and everything he does is going to be so closely related to that, but men are going to fall for it. And can I say on this one, my good biblical term, hook, line, and sinker. Why? Because that spirit of Antichrist is in the world today. And he's wooing and he's drawing. Yet, the son of perdition, that wicked, he's not been revealed. And so he goes on, starting verse 6 again. Now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. And then here's one of those mysteries. We talked about this a little bit this morning. He says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. So the mystery of iniquity doth already work. God is bringing this into revelation. Now, Paul has given us understanding of this mystery. It's not confusing. It's not going to overthrow us. It is continuing to take place in this world today. But what are we supposed to be? We're not supposed to be soon shaken in these things. Listen, I'm not the slightest bit shaken. I could go watch the whole Tim LaHaye series and, you know, it wouldn't bother me one bit. Why? Because I believe the Word of God. And I'm not a mid-tribber, post-tribber, a-tribber, a-fibber. None of those things, Ann. Or just a regular fibber. I don't want to be that either. But instead, I believe the Word of God. And I hope you believe the Word of God. And he goes on, he says this. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, what's going to take place? He that letteth will let. Again, over in Timothy, we're talking about that letting, you know, let every man depart from iniquity. And he's letting men depart from iniquity. But what's going to happen? That withholdeth is now going to be taken out of the way. He will no longer resist. Why? It's the time for that man of sin. And because the Word of God said it, he's not going to stop it. He is going to withhold himself. And when he withholds himself, it's because the church has departed. The saints have departed. The saints of God are with Christ. They've met him in the air. They're ever going to be with the Lord. And so now he's moved out of the way. And can I say it without cursing, without offense? All hell is going to break loose on this earth. But it's going to be subtle. Well, here's why. And then that wicked be revealed. That's an absolute. That wicked. And he goes on and says, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and again we see another parallel here, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. How does he do that? Because the brightness of the prince of Tyrus is temporal. But the brightness of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, is eternal.
Amen.
So we have a temporary light. We have an angel of light. And men follow that angel of light.
That's right.
I had a friend of mine years ago, he spoke of a particular fundamental pastor, and he said, is one of the, where they jog out on the stage, everybody stands and applauds, and, you know, it's a Heil church, if you want to know. And he came out, and he said, that man, he said, he gets in the pulpit, I've watched a glow come about him, and he said, he appears like an angel of light. And I just told my friend, I said, well, it's because he receives that from who he's following. That's why. He receives that from his master. And you say, that's a little bit too far out for me. Well, when you see somebody appear as an angel of light, you can rest assured they're a false prophet. And you say, how do you know they're a false prophet? Because they had 14 professions in about 30 seconds on the altar, and that's a false prophet. That's a liar. That's a deceiver. That's someone that is not of God. That is the spirit of Antichrist. They have the same thing at the Power Team, the same thing at Joyce Meyer Convention. They have the same thing at Southern Gospel Concert. They have the same thing at Contemporary Concert. Do you want to accept Jesus? We all raise our hands. We all run down. Why? Because that's the spirit of Antichrist working in the world today.
Amen.
I don't want to talk about this because Timothy's here. I don't want to offend him. But I once saw some really strong guys once. They're called the Power Team. And they were, I didn't want to go. Before the Lord, I didn't want to go. But these guys are like, come on, you got to go see, let's go see him. Let's go. So we go to Calvary Chapel, which right away my hackles are up. I'm mad. I'm just sitting there just seething. And the Power Team comes out, you know. And they're talking about God, you know, the generic God they got. And how God has helped them. And then they rip phone books and then they're looking for a big guy to bust bricks with a baseball bat. And my friends were all pointing to me. And I told them, I said, you do not want me up there with a baseball bat. I'm just telling you. I'm being serious. I really did tell them that. And I just scratched. I said, do not point to me. Then you don't want me to get up there. And again, they're testimonies, you know. And there's a strong man. And the funny thing is, and I believe the Lord protected me, because they kept looking at me and they just look away. Kept looking away. Well, finally it came down to where the guy gives this test of baloney about, you know, how God's so good and how the rainbow's in the heaven and don't you want to, you know, be in heaven forever. And he's asking for a show of hands, and I didn't know what else to do, so I just yelled, that's heresy. And old Danny Doss grabs me and starts shoving me towards the door. I said, get off me, Danny, that's heresy. I was yelling. I was, that's heresy. You say, should you have done that? I don't know, it's too late now. But I thought if I keep one young person from going up there and damning their soul to hell, it'd be worth yelling, it's heresy.
Yeah.
That's just the wrong place, the wrong time. Had no business being there. Never would go back again. But it's one of those dumb things you get roped into. I knew a man who got saved. He's at a McCamey's concert back 40 years ago, still preaching the gospel down in South Carolina. And said he got saved at a McCamey's concert. Maybe there was a day he could have got saved at a McCamey's concert. I don't know how you could now, but hey, that's a little bluegrass Southern gospel group. And he said they had a preacher, came in and preached the gospel. He was sitting there lost without Christ. He said, got born of God. And Brother Alfred Willis, been preaching the gospel in South Carolina for 40 years. And I said, well, could it happen today? Probably not. Well, because it's all following that same theme. They're all going the same direction. They're all just heading into that place. When that man of sin is revealed, they'll bow the knee to him. And they'll worship him as God. When he sits on the seat of God, they'll bow their knee and they'll say, he is God. He is the Christ. He is Messiah. He is the one we're looking for. In verse 9, even him whose coming is after, and notice this, the working of Satan. And here's a little word here that really throws off a lot of fundamentalists. All power.
Oh, come on.
He will have all. You're going to tell me he can raise the dead? All power.
That's right. Come on. Uh-huh.
You know what he says then? And signs and lying wonders. One man said to me, he said, he's not God. I said, no, he's not God. And I said, he's coming after the working of Satan. Satan is going to give him that seat. Satan is going to give him that power. And he is going to have all power. And all signs, lying wonders, there is nothing withholding from him as far as the power that the prince of the power of the air can give to him. And he'll have it. And he'll have it un- contested.
Yeah.
And he'll have that strength and he'll have that power. And there'll be no one to withhold him, no one to withstand him, no one to stop him. He will rule this world. And can I say to you in this church, sadly, if you're here, you also will bow the knee. And you'll call him God. And you'll worship him as Jesus Christ. And you'll be damned. For he says this, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. He is going to absolutely all deceivableness. That means there is nothing you won't be deceived in them that perish. Why? Because they received not the love of the truth, that they, it is that little word again, might be saved. Did they have opportunity? Yes, they did. At best, their conscience could reveal Christ to them. Will that save you? No. But the hearing of the word of God will. That's why I love the testimony of Mitsuo Fuchida.
Amen.
Sitting there in his chicken garden one day, looking at the chickens, and all of a sudden realizing something's keeping these chickens alive, and it's not me. His conscience was awakened. He went to a bookstore in Tokyo on his way to the war crimes trial in Tokyo, found a Japanese Bible, began to read the Word of God. Going into a subway station, God sent a man to give him a Bible tract, the story of Jacob de Chazer, prisoner of war. He says, I was a prisoner of war of the Japanese, Jacob de Chazer, a missionary for so many years. Mitsuo Fuchida, his conscience was pricked. He followed up on what his conscience pricked him. He got the Word of God, began to read the Word of God. And by his own testimony, was converted to the ostracizing of his nation. He'd been made a god. The emperor had made him a god. And yet his nation absolutely could not believe that he renounced Shintoism and renounced his beliefs and became a born-again Christian. And yet they would fill arenas to hear him preach the gospel. And we sit here, hearing the word of God, hearing preaching, far more than just our conscience, far more than nature, and yet will not receive the love of the truth. See, that deceivableness has started today. That's the spirit of Antichrist that's in the world. The deceivableness has already started today. All he's going to do is complete it. It'll be fulfilled in him. Most today are following a false Christ. You realize there's a brand, and it's a massive modern brand of Christianity that does not believe that Jesus Christ is the only way.
That's right.
My favorite radio jockey of all of them over the years, and I just got sick of Rush Limbaugh and couldn't listen to him, so I chose a precious Christian man, Michael Savage, I used to listen to in the evenings. And that's humor for those of you that know. If you don't know Michael Savage, thank God for that. Rejoice. Amen. And he'd get on his show and he'd read out of the King James Bible. And he talked one time on his show about the debate he had on there with Jerry Falwell. Jerry Falwell was a guest of his back in the 90s. And so I looked it up and sure enough, I found a clip of that and I listened to it. And Michael Savage says to Jerry Falwell, he says, Dr. Falwell, he says, do you really believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? And Jerry Falwell says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And he said, well, Dr. Falwell, certainly you believe that other religions, and he named some Buddhism. And so he said, certainly, you know, they'll go to heaven also. And Jerry Falwell said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Amen. In Good him love. Should not perish but have everlasting life. You can go look it up sometime. Jerry Falwell, Michael Savage. And he continues. He just badgered him. Dr. Falwell just quotes scripture after that. You can hear the trembling. You can hear the trembling in Savage's voice.
Amen.
I said, glory Amen. To God. God sent him a gospel preacher to tell him that, you know, that man read, he read King James Bible Psalms almost every day on his broadcast. He'd be talking about drinking fine wine and eating fine pasta and liquor. And then the next segment, he'd read a psalm. And God sent him a gospel preacher to tell him the truth. But sadly, Mr. Savage, there's only one way, it's Jesus Christ. And so many churches today have even gone that route. Why? The spirit of Antichrist has moved them that way. Until you're convinced that Jesus Christ is the only way, there's no hope. There's no salvation outside of Him. That spirit of Antichrist will try to convince you of everything else. These are good people. I remember at a church quite a few years back, and a man got up in the pulpit and he said, you know, we thank the Lord, blah, blah, blah. He said, and for our Catholic brethren, that we just preached the other night, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord of hosts, and touch not the unclean thing. What happens when you come out from among them? Well, salvation. Pastor Black right now is dealing with a situation. I can't say too much on the air, but Pastor Black is dealing with a situation right now with one of the plain people over there, and it's coming to a head. And eventually it's going to have to take place because that man cannot stay in there and purge them from within. No. It's inevitable. He's going to come out and be separate. And I think God can use him greatly. I think God can use his testimony, his life, the gospel. And I haven't had a lot of interaction with Pastor Black. He said, when you talk to him, he said, that man has salvation.
Amen.
But he's going to have to come out from among them.
Amen.
You're not going to convert them from within. You're not going to hold traditions of the Amish and infant baptism and the pouring of water upon the head and the sanctity of the church. You're not going to hold that in one hand and take Jesus Christ in the other. No. It cannot be. For those of you listening, that's me pecking on the phone to the glory of God.
Amen.
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 Amen. It's a labor. It's a work. Some of you get to meet him. Amen. But you got to come out from among them. You must be convinced that he is the only way. Why? Because that love of the truth is Jesus Christ. It is nothing else. And when you receive that love of the truth, some have spoken tonight, I don't believe without hyperbole, I don't believe with any falsehood. That love for the word of God is a wonderful thing. That pining, that longing, that sitting there just desiring the word of God, desiring God to reveal himself, desiring for God to show you something. I've been sitting there in the Chronicles, and God showed me something. I'm talking about early in the Chronicles. I'm talking about the first seven chapters of First Chronicles. And sitting there, and God showed me something. I just went, woo, glory. You say, what's in First Chronicles? Jara. Shishan. Amen. I said, glory to God. I learned a little bit about servitude from that one. Then the Lord sent me down to Georgia to preach on it. He gave a man, gave an Egyptian slave his daughter to be his wife. And I was in Georgia preaching that, and that went over about like it goes most places. Amen. And some of you know it's true. You heard the message. Amen. The Lord just said, you're going to go and preach that. And I preached it, the boldness of the Holy Ghost. And now listen, Brother Marion Atkinson was there. Thank God Brother Atkinson passed away a couple months ago. He's with the Lord. This way. Hey, those of you YouTubers, there's a last message he preached out there on YouTube. He's real feeble. He gets up in the pulpit with a walker. It's a wonderful message. You ought to go listen to it. Amen. Marion Atkinson, sort by date. Go back and look at the top of the... You'll find that last message he preached. It's out there on the internet. Thank God. That man of God came up to me and said, Brother McVeigh, that's a tremendous message. And I lived on that for 2 years. Amen. I carry me. Amen. Thank God for that. That's why I didn't compliment Stephen. Amen. He wouldn't study for 2 years. Verse 10, the whole deceivableness of unrighteousness and them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, what is that? Because they're receiving deceivableness. They're deceived in every area of their life. God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie. It'll be eternally too late. They'll be forever damned. There will be no hope. God himself is going to send them strong. Now again, my brother asked with Thursday night, talks about all this. He's also going to explain those strong delusions, what they are, how they work. Thank you for that, Pastor. Amen. And upon all this off on him. Amen. And then Wednesday night, Brother Cassiola is going to deal with that here. So try to help you out with that. I've heard a lot of things what those delusions are. But go look up the word delusion sometime. Amen. It's pretty horrific. Nothing is real. Absolutely nothing is real. They will believe a lie.
Yep.
Why does God do that? That they all might be damned.
Come on.
That's why God does that. Who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You say, God's that cruel? No, God's just that honest. He's going to damn them because they would not believe the truth. They had pleasure in unrighteousness. They loved pleasure more than they loved God.
Yep.
They saw Jesus Christ, but they loved pleasure. They saw the Word of God, but they loved pleasure. They saw a way of escape, but they loved pleasure. God's going to send them those strong delusions. And they'll all be damned. Let's go back to the book of Revelation. Let's look at a couple places quickly. I'm not going to talk about his revealing, but I will talk about his demise. It's a much happier message to preach. Revelation chapter 18. But I should go back. Let me go ahead and go to verse 10, Revelation chapter 17, verse 10. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but have received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. They that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Why? Because they would receive the love of the truth. Revelation 19. In verse 19, I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Now, people say, I've actually been asked this exact question. Why would they fight against him when they know what the Bible says? But don't forget, there's two things. One, they don't believe the Bible. Two, they're going to be deceived with all deceivableness of unrighteousness.
That's right.
They think they can win. They think they'll be fine. Sound familiar? They think we'll get through this okay. But they're deceived. And the beast was taken. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. And notice this. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Verse 10 of chapter 20. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I want you to notice that. Tormented day and night forever and ever.
Amen.
Thank God. Now, we've talked about that king of Tyrus, talked about that prince of Tyrus. We haven't really talked about that false prophet. But as some of you know, and just in case, that is what we call that unholy trinity. That is Satan, that old dragon, the serpent. Satan, that man of sin, that son of perdition, the beast, and the false prophet. An unholy trinity. Replicating God, mimicking God, even to the point that he puts his son on the throne of God and tells men to worship him and then gives him all. Jesus Christ said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Wow. That man of sin has all power given to him. That's amazing. Sure. Signs and lying wonders. Did Jesus Christ do signs? Did he perform wonders? Yes, he did. That man of sin is going to perform lying wonders. But all power, just as God has given all power to the Son of God, Satan is giving all power to his, I say his son. Hope it's not an offense to you. That bother you?
Not yet.
Amen. Just where it's at. And then we cast in the lake of fire and be tormented day and night forever. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up their dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Can we just go back to the root? They loved pleasure. They had pleasure in unrighteousness. So God had no choice but to damn them. They would not receive the love of the truth. So God damns them. They would not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they're damned forever. The sea is going to give up its dead. And I say to you, without harshness, without unkindness, and I use this so many times, I think of those war heroes. Those that we look at as heroes. Go with me to Gettysburg. I'll take you to the grave of John Reynolds, a great hero in the Civil War. Minutes after riding into the battle, he goes down Hawks Ridge and takes a bullet in the head. Dies. Buried again, a hero. All across that battlefield are heroes that died. You go to the Arizona Memorial, and I stood and watched the oil bubbling up out of turret number 2 in the Arizona Memorial. You realize the men entombed in that ship, they'll never ever in this life ever come out of that ship. Their bodies are there, but God is going to bring them up out of the sea. God is going to bring those men up out of the graves. God is going to bring all those men that are in hell and bring them out. And they'll stand before God. And then those books are going to be opened. And then whosoever will may come. But it's also whosoever was not found written. If we believe in whosoever will, we must believe in whosoever is not found written. And they also will be cast into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they'll be tormented day and night forever. Just give you a little doctrinal thing here. And again, most of you know this, probably all of you know this, but just in case. Death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. They are no more. So it is with sinners cast into the lake of fire. They'll be in the same judgment, the Satan, the beast, and the false prophet.
Yep.
Simply because they would not believe the gospel. They would not receive the love of the truth. But God in his mercy has withholden. There's still time. There's still opportunity. Because God himself is withholding that man of sin. It is not his time. But it will be. And when it's his time, it'll be too late. Those of us who are saved, you say, even Peter, he just got saved not long ago. Even Peter just didn't get saved too long ago. we're going to be gone.
Amen.
That's true.
Good.